Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. On Daf Chof Dalid, you will notice a Mishnah at the upper half of the page. Before learning the Mishnah itself, we have a note of introduction under our Nosei, our topic heading in the outside margin. We have written, Ma Posel, Bekohanim, Belevi'im, Me'avoda. What would render unfit a Kohen or a Levi from service in the Beis HaMikdash? The term Beis HaMikdash, though, will be qualified as we go on in the Gemara, because when we speak about the problems of Levium, we will have to look at the Levium in two stages of history. That is, the Levium as they were serving at the time of the movement of the Jews in the desert carrying the Mishkan, and subsequently the Levium as they served in the Mishkan of Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash, which were somewhat permanent structures, relatively speaking, and there was no need to carry and construct the Mishkan during those periods of time. The Mishnah says, Kosher b'kohanim posul b'levim, Kosher b'levim posul b'kohanim. This Mishnah is a little vague, and the Gemara itself will provide Tanaic sources that explain it further. But as it is, the Mishnah says that which is a sign of kashrus for Kohanim would render a Levi unfit, and that which is considered fit for a Levi is unfit when it comes to Kohanim. What do we mean by all of this? Let us continue with the Tanaic source at the beginning of the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan, we see that there is a framed section, and actually the rest of this Omid is made up mostly of framed sections in the text. These are all Tanaic sources. In our Gemara marking system, we attempt to frame off all Tanaic sources. So the Braisa says, Tanu Rabbanan, Kohanim b'mumin psulim b'shanim k'sherim. Kohanim are rendered unfit as a result of bodily blemishes, mumin. However, as far as age is concerned, age does not factor in the Kohen's acceptability or lack thereof. Hence, Bishonim Ksherim, with regard to age or years, that does not affect the Kohen. Levium, Bemumin Ksherim, a Levi who has a bodily blemish, is acceptable. Bishonim Psulim. However, with regard to a Levi, his period of service is defined by age. Nimsa, the result of this is, Kosher b'kohanim and posul b'levim, that which is acceptable by kohanim is unacceptable by levim. Kosher b'levim, posul b'kohanim, that which is acceptable by levim would be unacceptable when it comes to kohanim. Mino hanimili de tonu rabbanon. What is the basis of this as far as the Torah is concerned? The posuk says, Zois asher la'levim. This posuk, Rashi explains, is a kra yesera, is an extra, seemingly extra verse. Ma Talmud Lomar. So what is it telling me? Lefi shenemar, since it says, Umiben chamishim shana yoshuv, lomatnu lelevim shashonim poslin bohem. We learn from this, it mentions when he reaches 50 years old, he departs from the avoda. So, should we conclude yochol mumin poslin bohem? Should we conclude that bodily blemishes would also render them unfit? Vidinhu, and in fact, logic would point in that direction, as follows: Uma kohanim she'ein hashonim poisel b'hem. When it comes to kohanim, years, age does not figure in rendering a kohen unfit. Mumin poisel b'hem. Yet bodily blemishes do render a kohen unfit. Levim shashonim poslin bohem, levim who are rendered unfit by years, eino din shiu mumin poslin bohem. By all means, then mumin certainly should render them unfit. Talmud lomar. Therefore, the pasuk says zois asher la levim. Zois la levim, meaning years present a problem. The ein acheres levim, and not mumin, not something else, not mumin. Well, with this in mind, the logic now is flipped around. Yochol yu hakohanim psulim bishanim. Could it be that kohanim are rendered unfit through years? Valo dinhu. Logic would suggest that years would render a kohen unfit. Uma levim she'ein mumin poslin bohem shanim poslin bohem. Levim, which are not affected by mumin, yet years do affect them. Kohanim shamumin poslin bohem, kohanim which are affected by bodily blemishes, enodin shiu shanim poslin bohem, then all the more so they should be rendered unfit by passage of time, by being over a certain age. So this logic would point in the direction of a kohen being rendered unfit through shanim. Talmud lomar. Therefore, the pasuk says asher lalevim. The lo asher lakohanim. In other words, the issue of time or years affects only levim and not kohanim. Yochel af b'shilo u b'beis oylamim kain. Could it be that in Shilo, which was a location of the Mishkan, for a period of 369 years, the Mishkan stood in Shilo? Beis oylamim is a reference to the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim. Would these standards apply to the levim with regard to Shiloh and Yerushalayim? Talmud lomar la'avod avodas avodav avodas maso. The psukim that we have been featuring with regard to the levim and their ages are a reference to this issue. The avoda, the work involving the carrying of the Mishkan. Lo amarti elo bizman shavoda b'kosef. The rule of years rendering a Levi unfit applies only during the era, the time that the Mishkan was portable, was moved from place to place. Avoda b'kosef literally means work done by the shoulder. In other words, things were carried on their shoulders. Kosev echad omer miben chomesh vesrim shana v'mala. One pasuk says that they would serve from age 25 and up. The kosev echad omer miben shloshim. Another pasuk says from age 30. E efshir lomar shloshim shekvar nemar 25. You can't say 30 because there's a pasuk that says 25. The e efshir lomar 25 shekvar nemar shloshim. And you can't say 25 is the time for them to start their avodo when the other pasuk says at age 30. Ha ketzad, how are we to resolve these two verses? Chof hei lilmod, they would start learning how to do the avodo that is designed for the levim from age 25. Ushloishin lavod, and then they would graduate, so to speak, their period of study and start working at age 30. From this idea of 5 years and then then enter the practice, we learn the following. Mikan, the Talmud shiloro simin yofa b'mishnoso hey shonim shuv eino roe. A student who doesn't see fruits and success from his studies within 5 years, he will no longer see any success. Rashi defines simin yofa, this idea of success, or rather the contra of that, where not seeing success is lomei vishocho, person who learns and forgets. In other words, he learns and learns and learns, but doesn't retain whatever he's learned. That would be an example of lo ro'o simen yofe b'mishnaso. So that if with the passage of 5 years a person studies and forgets everything he learns, he would be considered shuv eino ro'e, won't see fruits later on. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he disagrees with this 5 year period and says gimel shanim. It's 3 years, which is the time allotted for coming to a conclusion whether he will see any further simin brocha. And what's Rabbi Yossi's source? Shenemar, the pasuk in Sefer Doniel says ulegadlam shanim shalosh ulelamdam sefer veloshon kastim, that over a period of 3 years they learned the language of the kastim, the kastim language. Kastim is the area known more commonly as Bavel. So you have two approaches. You've got a limud from the Levium, which as far as Simen Yofa Belimudo gives you 5 years, and you have the Doniel precedent allowing for 3 years. So the Gemara continues focusing on each one of these two shitas. The Idach, the first opinion that said 5 years, why does he not learn from the precedent of the language of the kastim? Shiny loshim kastim, that's different. The investment needed to learn the loshim kastim is different. It's less dekolial, it's easy, and therefore something that's easy, so we'll give you 3 years. But other studies, like the study of Torah, there we will wait 5 years till and then evaluate whether you see a simin brocha. V'idach, the opinion that holds 3 years, why does he not use the Levium as precedent? Shiny hilchus avoda detkifin, you can't use hilchus avoda, the laws of service in the Beis Hamikdash, as a standard setter, because they are particularly difficult. The Rashi explains what's the difficulty in terms of avodas Levium. So Rashi says the takifin lahirid hamishkan lefarko lenatoso, to disassemble the mishkan, to take it apart, to reassemble it, krosov v'kroshov v'hashir lekarbon v'peh u'bekli. It seems that the Levium were also expected to learn vocal and instrumental music. So all told, it took a long time to gain proficiency in the areas of Avodas Levium, and hence one should not use that as a standard for other areas of study. Before continuing in the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin. Me'emosai Koyanim Levium Ru'uyim Lavoda. From what point do we say that Koyanim and Levium are fit for serving? Tan Rabbanu Koyin Mishiyavi Shtei Sairas Ad Shigazkin Kosher Lavoda Umumin Poslin Bo. A Koyin, when he produces two pubic hairs until he becomes aged, is fit for the avoda that a Koyin does in the Beis Hamikdash, and Mumin, bodily blemishes Poslin Bo, will render the Koyin unfit. Ben Levi Mi Ben Shloshim Ve'ad Ben Chamishim. A Ben Levi from 30 to 50 is kosher lavoda, who shonim poslim bo. The age factor can render him unfit if he passes the age 50. Bamed v'omavurim, when do we apply this standard to the Levium? B'omoyej v'midbar. That's a reference to the Mishkan while the Jews were traveling in the Midbar. Avo b'shilo u'beveis olamim ein nifsolin el b'koil. When it came to the permanent type structures, the Mishkan that was set up in Shiloh was in effect a stone-walled structure with material covering, but the surrounding structure itself was permanent. So that's as far as Shiloh, and Beis Olamim, the Beis HaMikdash, which was naturally a permanent type structure. Ein Nifsolin al-Bakol, Levi is rendered unfit only if his voice becomes such that he cannot sing and harmonize with the others. Amar Rav Yossi, my craw. Rav Yossi asks, what's the pasuk that indicates that this is the standard for the Levium? Vahi ke'achad l'machatzrim u'mashorim l'ashmiya koil echad. Rashi points out that the expression vahi ke'achad means afilu zekenim b'mashma, even old levim are included. Kol echad, Rashi says, shetzrifim levasim es kolam, their voice should be made pleasant, she nirei ke'kol echad. They should be singing in such unison that it sounds like it's a singular voice. So, as long as a Levi is capable of singing in this unison fashion, he is fit for avodah as a Levi in the Beis Hamikdash. Ad Shiazkin, we said with regard to a Kohen, he is acceptable until he becomes old. Ad Kama, so up to what point is that? Amr Abulah, Amr Abchanina, Ad Shiyirtat, until he shakes or trembles. The trembling as a result of feebleness. Omar Tanan Hosam. We have a Tanaic source in which the terms Yeled and Zokin will be featured. The Tanaic source deals with a person who becomes ritually impure as a result of a sighting of Keri. Keri is the male fluid that comes forth from him, and that renders him unfit, or renders him tome. Bal keri shetoval velo hetil mayim, a person who had experienced a keri sighting and immersed himself in a mikveh in an attempt to achieve purification, and he did not urinate after the mikveh. Or let us put it this way, order of events is that he had a keri sighting and went to the mikveh before urinating prior to the mikveh. So the order so far is keri sighting, immersion in the mikveh, and no urination in the meantime. When he does urinate the next time after he immersed himself in the mikveh, tomei, he will become tomei. We are assuming that the keri that he had experienced did not entirely emerge from his body, and it will emerge, the balance, the remaining droplets will emerge or exit with his hatolas meiraglayim that he does at the first instance. Rabbi Yossi Amr b'chilu b'zokein tomei, b'yelid b'borei tohor. Rabbi Yossi makes a distinction when it comes to an infirmed individual or an elderly person, then this halacha of the Tanakama applies, that the the first urination after the mikveh will render him tomei once again. The idea being that because they are chole or zokein, they're in a weakened state, so the keri did not fully emerge from them when he experienced the keri sighting. However, b'yelid u'b'bori, a youthful individual or a healthy individual, tohor, even though he went to the mikveh immediately after the keri sighting, we assume that since he has vigor, all of the keri exited his body upon the initial keri sighting, leaving no more keri in his body to exit with the first urination. Yeled ad kamo, how long can we describe a person as being a yeled? Omar Rabbi Lo, Omar Rabbi Chanina, kol she'omed al raglo achas v'choletz min oloi v'noel min oloi. Anyone who is capable of standing on one foot, removing his shoe and replacing his shoe while standing on one foot, that is a yeled. Omu olav al Rabbi Chanina shoya ben shmoinim shana. It's reported concerning Rabbi Chanina that he reached age 80. He was of such vigor even at age 80 that he was able to do this, to stand on one foot, remove his shoe, and put it back on. Omar Rabbi Chanina, Chamin v'shemen shesachasni imi bialdusi hein omdu li b'ez ziknusi. Rabbi Chanina reveals the secret to his youthfulness, and that is the chamin, the warm water and oil that his mother smeared him with while he was a child, stood in good stead for him into his old age. Before we continue in the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin under our Nosei heading. Havoas Shnei Saros Nismale Zekono, two standards here, the emergence of two pubic hairs, and Nismale Zekono is literally when his beard becomes full. Me Emosai Kosher Lavoda, from what point is a Kohen considered kosher to serve? We have these two standards. One is earlier than the other, the Shnei Saros, and the later of the two is Nismale Zekono. Tana Rabbanan, a Tanaic source, features two opinions. We'll see Rebbe as the second opinion in this source. He says, Mismale Zekono Roy Le'aso Shliach Tzibor. If a person achieves this level of maturation, where Mismale Zekono, literally it would mean that his beard is full. There may be other interpretations to this term, Nismale Zekono, but for our purposes, that's the simple translation. So when he reaches that age where his beard is full, so then he is fit to be a Shliach Tzibor. Now Rashi explains that this term, Shliach Tzibor, in the upper part of the narrow lines, he says, L'chol Tzorcheim, he can be the emissary of the community for all their needs. Litkoa shofar, to blow the shofar, and the lindois, the limnos parnos, to also to excommunicate an individual if necessary, and to be appointed a communal leader. What else can we say about Nismale Zekono? Valere Lifnei Hateva, and to function as someone who leads the davening. Valiso Est Kapov, and to do the Birkas Kehanim. Me'emasai Kosher La'avoda, from what point is he fit to doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash? Mishiyovi Shtei Saras, with the emergence of two pubic hairs. Rebbe Omer Ani Ad Shiei Ben Esrim. Rebbe says, I hold that he is not fit to do the avoda until he is 20. Amar Rav Chisda, my time of the Rebbe. What is Rebbe's source? After all, most mitzvahs become obligatory at 13, which is more or less around the time of Shtei Saros. But Rebbe says age 20. Where does he get that from? Answer, Dichtiv Ve'amidu es halavim miben esrim shana v'malo lenatzeach al meleches beis Hashem. So this pasuk describes the service from age 20. The idoch, the Tanakama who said at a younger age he can start avoda, lenatzeach shiny. This pasuk makes reference to lenatzeach, which is a type of service whereby one oversees or is in full charge of what's taking place. So to be in charge of what's taking place and oversee the malacha, there one would have to be older. But to be a rank and file service man, Kohen working in service of the Beis HaMikdash, the earlier age, the of Shtei Saros, is enough. The Gemara asks, is it not so that this pasuk features Levium, and we are talking about the Kohen working in the Beis HaMikdash doing the Avoda? So how can you cite a pasuk concerning Levium when we are discussing right now Kohanim? The Gemara answers, Kidder Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The answer is in accordance with his teaching. The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, in another context, has said, there are 24 scriptural references to Kohanim by the term Levium. In other words, Kohanim are understood but referred to by the term Leviim. V'zeh echod mehem, and the following is one example of that. It says, V'hakohanim ha-Leviim b'nei Tzadok. The pasuk describes the children of Tzadok. Tzadok was a Kohen. And if that be the case, how could the Leviim be the b'nei Tzadok? Ella, rather, we see from here that the term Leviim can at times be a reference to Kohanim. If you'll ask, how does that work? So Rashi explains, he gives two possibilities. One is that the word Levi comes from a word like Levui, which is to accompany or to serve. And hence, since the Kohanim are people that serve in the Beis HaMikdash, this word would be appropriate. Another pshat is that the Kohanim come from Shevet Levi. So referring to them as Leviim is not a mistake. Tanu Rabbanan, Ish Mizaracha L'Dorosam. Mikan Omar Rabbi Elazar. Based on this pasuk, Rabbi Elazar says, Kotan Pasul Avoda Vafilu Tam. Since the word Ish applies, Ish implies adult. That would exclude a minor from Avoda, even if he is without blemish. He is Tam. Meimasai Kosher L'Avoda. From what point does the person become fit for Avoda? Mishiyovi Shte Cyrus. Avo Echov HaKoyhanim Ein Manichin Oisoi L'Avod Ad Shie Ben Esrim. So this source is teaching us that with the emergence of two Cyrus, technically he is fit to do the Avoda. However, his brother Kohanim, his comrades, so to speak, Kohanim, would not let this young Kohen serve until he reaches age 20. Now these ages, Shtei Saros and Ben Esrim, we have seen before. We had a Tanaic source above in which you notice that there are dot underlines here and the source before as well, in which you could see the Tanakama spoke about Shtei Saros and Rebbe spoke about age 20. This source makes mention of both ages, and the question is, who is the author of this source? Ika di Amri ha Rebbe hi. There are those that say that this source is in accordance with Rebbe. Ve'afilu psul derabbanan les lei. And even a rabbinic restriction does not exist. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Iko diamri ha Rebbe hi diamr le'el omer ani ad shi ben esrim vashminen hacha the Rebbe ufei lo posulei b'dieved afilu midrabbanan hello shein echav akolim anichem osu lechatchila. What this source is revealing to us is that Rebbe holds that from Shtei Cyrus, from the two pubic hairs, he's already fit for avoda, and there is no problem whatsoever, even on a rabbinic level, for him to do avoda. As far as practically would he be able to do avoda, he would not be, because his brother Kohanim, the fellow Kohanim, simply wouldn't let him. But without any legal force, so to speak. That's one approach. The Ika di Amri, another approach is as follows. Rebbe Is le psul midrabbanan. Rebbe himself holds that under 20 he cannot serve, even b'dieved. Midrabbanan, he is simply unfit to serve. V'ha rabbanan he, and this source that indicates a possibility of service under 20 is in accordance with the rabbanan. U'lechatchilu delo aval dieved avodosuk shera. And the source is telling us that l'chadchila, as a first choice, a maybe Shtei Saros should not do avoda, but if he did, his avoda is kosher. This new Mishnah features a contrast between earthenware vessels and vessels made of other materials. The vessels made of other materials, we're going to be focusing on those vessels which have tara in a mikvah. This is in opposition to the klicheres, which once they become tomei,
there is no way to remove their tumah. This is not so when it comes to other kinds of materials like wood and metal. Those are vessels that could be immersed in a mikvah. The nosei, the topic heading we've added to this Gemara, is Hevdeo ben Kli Cheres l'Sha'ar Kelim, the difference between earthenware vessels and other vessels. The Mishnah, Tohor b'kli cheres, tomei b'chol akelim. That which would be considered tohor with regard to a kli cheres would render other vessels impure, tomei. Tohor b'chol akelim, that which does not affect all other kinds of materials, tomei b'kli cheres will render, or is capable of rendering, the kli cheres tomei. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that elaborates on what the Mishnah teaches. Avir kli cheres tomei, the gabo tohor. The internal airspace of a kli cheres communicates tuma. That, of course, is a reference to a kli cheres that became tomei. Let us say, for example, someone dangled a dead sheretz in the airspace of a kli cheres. That kli cheres then radiates tuma to that which is contained in it, so that the avir kli cheres is tome. The airspace of a kli cheres that became tome is itself, the airspace is tome. The gabo tohor, meaning the outside, the exterior of the vessel, of the earthenware vessel, is tohor. Avir kol hakelim tohor, the airspace of other vessels. If you had the same scenario with a sheretz, let us say, dangling in the airspace of a metal vessel, the airspace would not be affected. The metal vessel, if there was no actual contact with it, would not be affected by the fact that a sheretz was dangling in its airspace. So, avir kol hakelim tohor, v'gabon tomei. However, the outside surface of such a vessel, does absorb tuma. Nimtza, the result of this observation is kotor b'kli cheres, that which would be considered tor with regard to a kli cheres, tomei b'chol hakelim, and tor b'chol hakelim, tomei b'kli cheres. Minohani mili, the Ton Rabbanon, what is the scriptural basis for this teaching? Namely that kli cheres alone are affected by airspace, or airspace is a factor in dealing with the tuma of kli cheres, and not anything else. So the source begins with a quote from the pasuk. The word tocho comes from the pasuk. Rashi quotes the pasuk that says v'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehem, and the pasuk goes on to say el tochoi. So the pasuk itself is referring to a sheretz that fell into the airspace of a kli cheres, and the source tells us tocho v'afapi shelo noga. There is a communication of tuma to the surrounding kli cheres, even if there was no actual contact between the sheretz dangling in the airspace of the kli cheres and the kli cheres itself. You are telling me that there's tuma even if there was no contact, or maybe there's tuma only if there was contact. Rabbi Yonasan ben Avtumus Omer, Nemar Tocho Litame Venemar Tocho Litame. You find the word tocho in the case of the kli being metama other things, and with regard to the kli, to the vessel, absorbing tuma. Ma tocho ha'omor litamei afo pishelo noga, just like tocho that appears in the context of other things becoming tomei while in the airspace of the kli cheres, they become tomei even if there was no contact with the actual walls, even if it be the interior walls of the kli cheres. All that is necessary is for the item to be in the airspace of the kli cheres. Af tocho ha'omor litame, so to the word tocho in the context of something absorbing tumah, afopi shelo noga. And the basic example of that would be the klicheres itself absorbing its initial tumah. There too, there is no need for the sheretz to have contact with the interior of the physical contact with the interior wall of the klicheres. By mere fact that it's in the airspace, that's enough. Well, the Gemara says v'hasa min alon, and over there, concerning the case of letame achirim, from where do we know that airspace is sufficient to communicate tuma to everything that's in it? Amar Rav Yonasan hatura heido al kli cheres. The Torah testifies concerning kli cheres. The pasuk says kol asher besocho, everything that's in it. The afimu malo chardol, even if the kli cheres is filled with chardol. Chardol is some type of spice, sometimes translated as mustard. For our purposes, we would like to characterize chardol as something which is a very fine type of seed. So if you could imagine something of a powdery consistency, something like talc or flour, each grain being the focus of our attention right now. Imagine you have a kli cheres that happened to have a sheretz dangling in it once. That kli cheres is said to become tome. The kli cheres now will metame other things. It will metame all the flour or all the chardol that one places in it. What does this show? This shows that the form of tuma that the kli cheres is radiating is a tuma through the avir, through the airspace, and not a tuma of mago. Mago would be contact. If it were functioning through contact, then you have to imagine the following. The kli cheres itself is a rishon l'tuma, the first rishon level of tuma. The sheretz itself that was responsible for the kli becoming tuma was an av ha-tuma. The kli itself becomes a rishon l'tuma. The powder, the chardol that's inside this kli, if it were working through maga, then you have to imagine the first layer of flour touching the inside wall would become a sheni. The next layer of flour, and we're talking about something that's only a grain thick, the next layer would become a shlishi letuma. The third, the additional layer would become a revi'i letuma. But at this point, after you pass into these numbers beyond sheni, after sheni l'tuma, you have shlishi, which only affects truma, not chulin. Revi is something would affect only kochim and certainly not chulin, and on and on. If you wanted to assign a number to the middle of this vessel filled with chardol, a flour, a powdery substance, boy, you'd get up to some very high number of tuma, if you will, and that would in effect tell us it's not tome, because there is no tuma to speak about beyond whether it be a sheni, shlishi, or vi, but beyond that there's no tuma level. Nevertheless, we say that all of the flour in the kli is tome. If it were through contact, you'd be, each layer is an additional level, additional weakened level, and we don't go beyond a revi latuma. In our discussion, we wouldn't even go beyond a shlishi latuma. So then how is it that that all of the chardol inside the kli cheres is said to be tome? It must be because of the airspace in which it's found. It's found in the interior of a kli cheres, and we are teaching that the kli cheres radiates, communicates its tuma to things that are merely in its airspace, and not through the mechanism known as mago. So that would prove what we asked the second line from the bottom of the Hosam and Olan. How do you know that letame achirim tuma is communicated through airspace? Because the pasuk said kol asher basoho, anything that's in it, including something of a powdery, very fine consistency, it would all become tame. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.